You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
I really believe God has given me something to encourage your hearts, to lift you up, to tell you again that God is aware of you. Amen. And my sermon topic today is, can you see what God sees in you? Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and ask them the question, can you see what God sees in you? And now they have to answer you, right? Okay. Yes, no, maybe, maybe not. Sometimes, always. Yes, just at times when it's going well, when it's not going well. You see, God sees in you what you could never see in yourself. But before we jump into the Word, can I just pray and acknowledge the precious Holy Spirit? Amen. So, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Father. Lord, we are nothing, nothing, nothing without your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. You are so welcome in our lives. You are so welcome in this building. Lord, we come into your building, Lord. You don't come into ours. And we just want to say that we love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. May your words rest upon my voice, Father. May your heart come through in what I say, Father. May I decrease, Lord, that you may increase, Lord. Let your people walk out here with a fresh revelation of who you are, Father. And we thank you for this. We thank you for another moment in your presence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen, church. But I've got the privilege of sharing a word with you this morning. And I really want to ask you, in all sincerity and in all seriousness, can you really see what God sees in you? Because if we cannot see what God sees in us, we sometimes are not quite on the right track, because what God sees in us is way more than what we could ever see in ourselves. Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says, remember not the former things. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. It says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. Just with that scripture, I could go home and have revival. Amen. You see, God's question is very clear. He says, can you see the new thing springing forth? He says, a way in the wilderness. Can you see a way in your wilderness? He says, a river in a desert. And the good that He's planned for you. Amen. Even if you cannot see the whole picture, church, God can. The God I serve can, and this is why we need to have faith. And faith is a trust in what God sees above what we see. Amen? Faith is a trust in what God sees above what we can see. You know, we all quote the scripture, Jeremiah 29 verse 11. If I ask any of you for a scripture, you're going to tell me, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to for your welfare, not for your calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Many of us know this, but do we know what it means when God says, for I know the plans I have for you? You see, many times we see our present circumstances, but God sees the promised future. Amen? We see a process, God sees the purpose. We see a problem, God sees the promise. You see, we have to start seeing what God sees. You know, Jeremiah 32 verse 27 asks us a very, very, very relevant question. It says, the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? God is asking you that this morning. He's saying, Taniyaki, is anything too hard for me? He's saying, Renir, is anything too hard for me? He's saying, Palesa, is anything too hard for me? And you know what? We often say, no, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. From here. But do we believe it here? Do we believe in our hearts that nothing is too hard for the God we serve? You see, God asked Abraham to see the future. He asked him to see the future in one of his darkest seasons ever. I'm not going to go into the whole story of Abraham. I'm going to use a very small portion. But at the time where God speaks to Abraham, Abraham had no child. He had no heir. He and Sarah were getting beyond childbearing years. And the promise seemed further away with every passing year. Abraham was not standing on a mountain of victory when God asked him a certain question. He was standing in the valley of questions. Many of us this morning, sometimes we are standing in the valley of questions. And God is asking us, is anything too hard for me? Some of us might be standing on our mountain, young people. You could be in a mountain today and in a valley tomorrow. God is asking you the same question. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? You see, this is where real faith lives. Real faith lives in the answer that you give when God asks you, is anything too hard for me? Not just in a hard season, but in those that look completely finished. Ezekiel says, I will make breath into you and you will come to life. Have you ever seen that scripture? It says, I will make breath and let you come to life. Which situation in your life today needs to come to life? Is there a child that needs life? Is there a marriage that needs life? Is there a business that needs life? God says, I'm ready to breathe my life. Is anything too hard for me? You see, God breathes life into Abraham by firstly taking him outside his tent to show him the stars. Have you ever read that part? In Genesis it says, and he took him outside and said, now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. He said to him, so shall your descendants be. Amen? So shall your descendants be. So in those days, tents, Abraham had a massive tent because Abraham was very wealthy. And in these tents, there were different sections. There were even like little rooms made with different materials. But the top of the tent was covered in like a black goat's hair, which was amazing because when it rained, the goat's hair would expand and the tent would be weatherproof. Amen. But it was a very closed tent and it was a very secluded place. Can I ask you this morning? I think many of us are living in a tent. And God is saying to you today, get out of your tent. You see, we look at our finances, we look at our failures, we look at our fears and our disappointments, and all we can see is what is missing. Amen? But faith begins when God brings us out of that place to a place where you can see His perspective. Amen? God did not argue with Abraham's circumstances. He made him get out of the tent and look at a bigger vision. Abram had to lift his eyes and see. This is where the music ministry was singing this morning. Lift your eyes, lift your eyes. Fix your eyes on me. So God gave Abram a picture before he gave him the promise. He said, Abram, get out of your tent. Get out of your circumstances. Get out of the place where you are focusing on yourself. And look up at that stars. And you know what? Abraham wasn't looking at just 100 stars. On a night, a clear night in the Middle East, away from the city lights, there would be thousands of stars. So that picture mattered because Abraham could never actually be able to count the stars. Think about it. Was God giving him an assignment that was possible? Can any of you go outside and count the stars? Amen. You see, Abraham could never count them. But God deliberately did this. You know why God deliberately did this? Because God wanted to show Abraham that he didn't need him to count stars and be able to count how many there are for him to be God. When God told Abraham to count the stars, he did not give him a mathematical lesson. He was stretching his faith. Are you with me this morning, church? Every star Abraham could see represented a reminder that God's plans were bigger than his limitations. Think about it. The stars were God's way of saying, Abraham, if you can count my resources, then you can limit my promise. But if you cannot count the stars, then you do not limit what I can do through your life. This morning, church, I want to ask every one of you, go outside and count the stars. And what qualifies you to limit your Lord Jesus Christ is if you can count them. If you cannot count them, you cannot limit what God has in store for you. Amen? 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 Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? God is in the house. Amen. God is in the house. He wants to tell you, go count the stars. If you ever wonder God loves you, if you ever wonder God wants to come through for you, if you ever wonder that God wants to be there for you, go count the stars. I want to speak to every woman in this house today. It's trusting God for a baby. Go count the stars. And you tell me if it's possible to have a baby. Amen? 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 Go count the stars and tell me if it's possible for your business to have life again. Is it yes or a no? Yes, it's possible. Go count the stars outside, those that are trusting God for the prodigal sons to come back. For your son and daughter that's not serving the Lord, I want to tell you, if you can count the stars, then you can tell God it's not possible. But until you can count the stars, you are not qualified to say what God can do. Amen? Amen? I want to speak to young people. Your future is so beautiful that you cannot imagine what God has planned for you. There are jobs. There are opportunities. There are study places to go study. Amen? Your life is not in the hands of man. Your life is in the hands of God. And every time you doubt God has a future for you, young people, go stand outside and count the stars. Amen? And if you can come back to me and tell me how many stars is in the universe, I will tell you, you can make a decision on what your future looks like. Up until that point, God has a good future for you. Amen? God has a good future for you. God has a good future for you. Your future is not limited to any man. Amen? As you walk with God, as you sit with God, as you learn with God, as you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, the sky isn't even the limit. Amen? But you know what? We need to believe it, because the whole world is telling us we're not going to make it. The whole world is telling us, how are we going to survive? How's our finances going to survive? How are we going to get through the next day? How's my business going to survive? God, my business, what's going on with my business? God, I'm barren. I don't have a child. I'm running out of time. Guess what? If you aren't 100, there's still time. Because if God could give Sarah a baby, He can give anyone a baby. Amen? Amen? And I want to tell you, every single person in the household of Christ, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, has had a baby when we've trusted the Lord for a baby. Amen? So I want to speak to every mommy this morning that's got a child. You can raise them in the ways of the Lord, and you can raise them that you serve a good God, or you can raise them that God has a limitation. What are you teaching your children? Are you teaching them to look out at the stars and say, you know what, baby, if you can count the stars, you can know what God has for you, because it's way more than what you could ever imagine. You see, in essence, God asked Abraham, can you see what I see? God was asking Abraham, can you see what I see? He was not asking if Abraham could see his age. Did God say to Abraham, Abraham, do you know you're 100? He was not asking him if he could see Sarah's barrenness. God didn't say, Abraham, you know your wife. We need to talk about your wife. I think there's still maybe a little bit of chance for you, but your wife. I don't know how we're going to do this, Abraham. This is how sometimes we think God speaks to us. He was not asking him to see the obstacles. He was asking him, can you see what I see? Can you see what I see? Imagine what your life would be if you could see what God sees. Amen? Why is seeing life as God sees it important? Why is it important? Because what you focus on eventually shapes your perception. What you focus on shapes your perception. Young people, if you focus on a good future, I promise you, you will have a good future. Yes, you will have times where you will hold on to God. You'll have times where you will beg God. You'll have times where you'll be sitting at His feet and you'll say, God, which way? But you know what? In those times that we hold on to Jesus, where life doesn't look like it's throwing us everything we want, is the most precious times of worship. Because in our brokenness, God always pitches up. Amen? What you focus on eventually shapes your future. It shapes your perspective. What gets in your eyes affects your marriage. Do you know that? What gets in your eyes affects your parenting. It affects your hope. It affects your faith. So Matthew says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, the whole body is good. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Amen? You see, pain has a memory. Can I speak about that just for 1 minute? Are you with me this morning, church? Pain has a memory and disappointment has a voice. And if you are not careful, yesterday will start telling you how to live today. Yesterday will start telling you how you live today. God, I don't feel you came through quite like I needed you to. So today I'm not going to trust you. It's just easier not to trust, because if you trust and you're disappointed, who's ever heard that? You see, God wants to heal your vision, because pain can distort your perception. Do you understand what I'm telling you this morning, church? Pain can distort your perception. Look at the stars. If you can count the stars, you are qualified to say who God is and what he can do in your life. Let God do what he wants and how he wants to do it. Amen? God is not limited to a method. Why is God not limited to a method? Because if it was a method, we could predict what God is. So look at Jesus. Jesus heals the blind man in different ways. The first blind man, he spits in mud and puts it in his eyes and his eyes come. The second man, he prays for him. The eyes come, he sees people with like looking like trees. Jesus prays a second time. Not once did Jesus pray the same. He speaks to Lazarus to come out the grave, but he takes the hand of the little girl who had died and tells her to get up. Do you see how God has no method? Our God is not in a box. Whatever we think of him is way too small. Amen? What must we do in every situation? Hebrews 12 says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's another translation says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. The answer is not to look harder. The answer is to look at him. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning, church? I'm just going to try harder, Jesus. Just look at him. Just look at him. Amen. That's why David says in Psalms, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. Another translation says, yet I totally trust you to rescue me one more time so that I can see once again how good you are while I'm still alive. In the land of the living. God wants to show you his goodness in the land of the living. Can I tell you something this morning? If you don't have a picture of your future, can you get one from the Bible? You say, I don't have a picture. I've been through so much pain, so much disappointment. I don't have a picture. Can I tell you something? This Bible is full of pictures that you can put in your heart. Hebrews 13 says, I will never desert you. I will not ever forsake you. Can I give you another one? Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Can I give you another one? Philippians 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I give you another one? Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and he will make your path straight. Can I give you another one? Philippians 4 says, and my God will supply all my needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus, church. What about another one? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive your sins. Can I give you another one? Isaiah 41 says, fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and I will help you. Can I give you another one? Romans 8 says, for we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love him. Isaiah 43, the one I started with this morning. God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? if you just take that one promise, say, God, you are doing a new thing in my life, in my personal life, in my family, in my children, with my relationship with my husband, in my workspace, in my studies, with my peers, you are doing a new thing. You will bring waters in a desert and springs in a wilderness, because that is the God I serve. Amen. When you feel alone, see His presence. When you feel weak, see His strength. When you feel lost, see His guidance. When you feel fearful, see His faithfulness. When you see an ending, God has always got a new beginning. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning, church? Before Isaac was born, God gave Abraham a vision of the stars, because faith often sees before it receives. God was planting an image in Abraham's heart that would sustain him during the days of waiting. Amen? We've all waited. You know, part of our stories, we waited for our children. Amen? We had to hold on to a promise. Luckily, I wasn't 100 years old when I got my promise. Amen? But we had to hold on to a promise. Every night, Abraham stepped out of his tent and looked up. The stars preached a sermon to him. You know what the stars said? God has not forgotten you. God is still working, and His promise is still alive. Amen? 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 Every night when you don't know where God is going to be tomorrow or what God is going to do for you, you step outside, you look at those stars, and you can say, God has still got a promise. God still loves me. Everything is going to be okay, because God said, if I can count these stars, then I can make a decision on who He is. But I cannot, because God's ways are way higher than our ways. Amen? So God sees the end from the beginning. God saw Joseph as a ruler when he was in a pit. God saw Gideon as a mighty warrior when he was hiding in fear. Amen? God saw David as a king when he was a shepherd. God saw Jeremiah as a prophet when he was in the womb. That's where Jeremiah 29 verse 11 comes. I knew you before you were born. I formed you in the womb. God saw Peter as a future leader when he was impulsive and unstable. That gives us hope, hey church? God saw Lazarus as sleeping when the world saw him as dead. What a God we serve. God saw Saul becoming Paul while he was persecuting Christians. God does not merely see who you are today. God sees who you will become by His grace. Amen? Who you will become by His grace. You know, God could see what Abraham could not. When Abraham was trusting God for Isaac, or the child of promise, Abraham saw Isaac. God saw Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, Moses, David, the coming Messiah, and the millions that would become children of Abraham after that. Abraham was thinking of an heir. God saw us already today. That is the God we serve, amen? When Abraham looked up, he saw stars. When God looked up, He saw generations. Amen? Amen? That is why God's vision is always bigger than Abraham's imagination. His vision was always bigger than what Abraham could imagine. Amen? Immediately after God showed Abraham the stars, Scripture says he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's our part to play. When God says you can, don't go and stand and argue with God. Say, God, I cannot always see it, but if you can see it, I'm going to trust you. Amen? I'm going to trust you. A word from God was enough for Abraham. Is a word of God enough for you? Amen? Perhaps God is asking you the same question this morning. Perhaps He's asking you, can you see it? Can you see your marriage being healed? Can you see your business turning around? Mommies that are trusting God for a baby, can you see yourself holding a baby? Amen? What do you see in your children, church? Do you speak life over your children? Every morning, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are the head and not the tail, my baby. You're going over, not under. My princess, you know what God has for you. You cannot believe what God has for you. Whatever you're thinking, let's go count the stars. Tell me how many stars there are. Then I'll tell you how many plans God has for you. How many, not even any plans, good plans God has for you. Amen. We encourage our children. We build up our children. We tell them they're going to go higher places than us. They're going to do more for God than us. Well, I'd love our children to do more than what we've ever done for him. Amen. I want our children to love Jesus more than what I would ever love him. I want our children to serve Jesus more than I could ever serve him. I want our children to lay down their lives more than what I could ever lay down my life for Jesus. Amen. Because our children are the future and people need hope. Hope. Our children need hope. Amen. Our young people need hope. The young generation is standing up for Jesus like never before. Amen. There's a young generation standing up with the fear of God again. There's a young generation standing up that says, I'm not going to be labeled by what a natural man can tell me. I'm labeled by God Almighty. Amen? Amen? Can you see the breakthrough you're waiting for? Can you? Can you see the promise beyond the pain? This matters because what you see shapes your future. And many times when we look at things through pain, our problem becomes bigger. Amen? When Abraham looked at himself, the promise seemed impossible. But when Abraham looked at God, the promise became inevitable. It became inevitable. Success was his future. That is the shift that faith makes. Amen? That is the shift that faith makes. You start believing in the goodness of God. You start believing in who God is. You stop labeling him. You stop putting him in a box. I promise you, church, your biggest dream is not big enough for what God has for you. And it's for his glory. Amen. It's for his glory. God wants you to be a success for his glory. Amen. Faith is not seeing what is. Faith is seeing what God says will be. What is God saying about your situation this morning? What will be? True faith does not need a complete map of the future. It just demands you to say yes to God for today. Every morning, wake up and say, yes, Lord. Today, I'm walking with you. Tomorrow, you get up and you say, yes, Lord, I'm walking with you. You get up the next day and you say, yes, Lord, I'm walking with you. I believe in the goodness of God. I believe in the goodness of God. You see, faith says, I know the one who asked this of me, and he deserves my obedience, no matter what it leads to. Faith says, I know the one that's asking me to trust him. And I want to do that because I know where this leads to. Abraham never counted all the stars. That was the point. God was showing him that his plans were bigger than anything Abraham could ever imagine. I want to tell you this morning, church, God's plans for you are bigger than what you could ever imagine. Tozer says, it was not what Abraham believed, it was who he believed. Abraham believed God. Do you believe God this morning? Do you believe God this morning? Tomorrow morning, will you believe God? When a trouble comes, will you believe God? When a challenge comes, will you believe God? Maybe God is saying to you this morning, can you see a church? Can you see what I want to do in your life? And you know what? Maybe we can't see all of it. We see enough to trust him. Amen? We can't see the future, but I can look back and I can say, God has been good. Yes, it's not always been easy. Yes, I've sometimes cried. Who hasn't cried? Who has cried, ladies? And gentlemen, you can double blink if you're as well. I know girls cry more than guys. Amen? Yes, I've gone to God and said, God, what's the answer? And God has not always answered me in the way that I want him to answer me. But I trust his hand enough to know that what he answers me is where I must go. Amen? Do you need to see the whole journey? No, Because we can only, if we only see Jesus, we see enough. Do you see Jesus? If you can see Jesus, Jesus says, if you can see me, I will bring you into everything I've planned for you. But you know what he says your part is? Fix your eyes on me. Amen. Fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes on me. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the report. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. And he's going to take you through, church. Young people, fix your eyes on Jesus. Love Jesus more every day. Love Jesus more every moment. Ask God for a deep, deep love for him. I promise you, your future is filled with everything beautiful. But fall in love with Jesus. When the world says don't, you say, I'm going to. You know, it takes a man and woman of faith to stand up and say, God, I'm choosing you, when the world says no. When the world says, let's go clubbing, you say, no, let's go churching. Amen? When the world says you need substance to make it, you say, no, God is my substance. Amen? Amen? I love our young people. I love what they're doing for God. I love how they are fixing their eyes on him. But I'm telling you, they have no idea what God has for them. Amen? So this morning, Lord, I just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can fix our eyes on you, Lord. That we can know that you are faithful, that you are true, that you are reliable, that you are dependable, that you are able. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a new love in our hearts for who you are, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us where we've limited you. Forgive us where we've got offended with you. Forgive us where we've pointed our finger at you, Lord. Forgive us where we've been arrogant in your sight, Father. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us and cleanse us by your blood, Lord. We want to come as humble servants, Lord. You are the potter, Jesus, we are the clay. We want to fix our eyes on you, Lord. And we know that your goodness will run after us all the days of our lives. Church, why don't you just take a moment and just speak to the Lord. Say, Lord, this challenge, this thing I'm facing, I'm fixing my eyes on you this morning. I'm placing this challenge at your feet, Lord, and I'm leaving it there, Father. I'm fixing my eyes on you, Lord. I'm fixing my eyes on you, Jesus. You are faithful. 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 You are good. You're a good, good God, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something so beautiful about that name. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. You want to maybe make right with Jesus. Maybe you were the one that believed that God is against you, that God isn't walking with you, that God isn't in your future, that everything you are facing is becoming so loud and so overwhelming that you cannot believe that God can be there. I want to speak to you this morning and I want to say there is hope. Because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I give you my life this morning, Lord. I acknowledge you died on the cross and you rose again. Be Lord of my life. Take my future, Jesus. Take my future, Jesus, and turn it into what you want it to be. A beautiful future, Father. I give you my life. I confess, Lord, I've sinned in words and deeds and thoughts. Forgive me, Father. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Enter my heart, enter my soul, enter my life, and make me new again, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.